from legendary director Spike Lee, based on the incredible true story of the black cop who infiltrated the KKK.
Chief, I'd like to be undercover in the Ku Klux Klan.
Critics are saying it's the most important film of the year. It's furious, relevant, and funny as hell.
Can you dig it?
Right on, right on.
Black Klansman in cinemas Friday.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney. Christy Wowardy Dowardy.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
Susie going toe to Tobin.
Anna, God, I love that banana.
Anderson.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor. Ava Nagila Weber.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grandmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
The Incredible Edible Matthews Sisters. And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys. Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Old Browse. I'm Ronnie Karam. I'm also on the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast. And here I am with the gorgeous, talented, gorgeous again, still talented, Ben Mandelker. Hello, Ben.
Hey, how's it going?
Not a whole heck of a lot, you little snurdly. What are you doing over there?
I'm just getting excited and more excited because tomorrow night, it's our big show in Palm Beach or West Palm Beach. I actually haven't seen where
it's
we
West
are.
West Palm Beach, sir.
West Palm Beach, but we'll tell everyone it's Palm Beach because that's what Luann does. Mm-hmm. Palm Beach is my rose and my thorn. So,
what's the difference? Am I right, girls?
Well, we went to the Crappens show and it was all so much, and there was a cat and a jazz singer, and you know, next thing it was like the perfect storm, and I wound up in the jail with bologna being thrown in my head and mustard packets in my throat. Yeah, we're doing a big show. It's our very first ever Florida show, and it's not just Florida, it's Palm Beach, Lou Central. Ronnie and I are going to go on a haunted Lou tour during the day, which will be super fun, taking pictures everywhere. You guys have to come. There actually are, amazingly, still some tickets left. We're going to be recapping Real Housewives of New York. It's just going to be a Lou bonanza. It'll be great. Memories. High point of 2018 for everyone, although one could say the same thing for two nights later when we're going to be in Atlanta to recap Real Housewives of Dallas for the first show, and then the second show, the first show sold out, second one, still some tickets available, where we're going to go back in time to recap the very first episode ever of Real Housewives of Atlanta, and along the way, we're going to celebrate Ronnie's birthday. It's going to be a very special night. All three shows are going to be very, very special, so we hope you can come to them. It's going to be great. Go to watchcrappens.com for those tickets. And while you're there, feel free to click around and check out our limited edition Garsh t-shirts, which are only available for, you know, like another 2 weeks or so. So go do that. It's going to be great. It's going to make you feel like you're part of the family, okay?
Yeah, okay. And so today we have Below Deck Mediterranean.
God, I love that banana.
So really slowed down Sandy ending that we all needed.
I thought it was like Sandy doing State Farm again. Like a good neighbor, Sandy is there.
Hugs.
You're like, hey, I just lost my she shed. And she's like, you want a hug?
So, God, I love that she shed.
God, I love that banana Hannah. She shed.
Hannah, things I don't want to hear. Fire alarms in the she shed, okay? There should never be a fire alarm. I want Colin to stand in front of the she shed and just have his eyes on it at all times.
That she shed shit is the funniest commercial I've ever seen in my life. I don't know why I laugh every time, but she's like, well, they finally set my she shed on fire, whatever she says.
Probably happened.
God, I laugh every time.
God, I love that she shed commercial.
I really do. I've talked about it like 20 times because I love it that much. Okay, everybody, deal.
I hadn't even heard of a she shed until that commercial.
Me neither. That's why it's so funny. She's like, my she shed.
Yeah, it's a big improvement over Man Cave, that's for sure.
Yes. So here we are at Below Deck Mediterranean. It's about a boat on a river, on a big river.
On a river called life. In the middle of the night, I go walking in the... Okay,
river. So dreams. I was confused because, you know, the previous EIN, you know, at the show you're watching on a riverboat. Whenever they show those, they're usually bringing up something that people are going to fight about. And this one started, like, previously on Shoreboat. Hi, golly! It's Colin talking to his mom on the phone. And I was like, oh my God, is someone going to fight with Colin's mom? I'm so excited.
Yeah, this week's episode is a very special B story about, a great deal that she finds at Kmart.
I just had to call. Golly, guess what? I went to Kmart over in Syosset. And guess what? They have Orange Crush on sale, 2 for 1.
God, Mom, they just love me so much.
He drowns afterwards. So then so we start up and we're with the charter group. For those of you who don't remember, there's a guy named Daniel something another who's a motivational speaker with ridiculous hair. And everything he says is just some hollow, vapid expression that maybe rhymes. And so we see him and his friends sitting around the dinner table, and he's like, together, but someone's talking about like teamwork. He's like, well, you know what team stands for? Together, everyone achieves miracles.
I didn't realize he was spelling out team.
Yeah. How about like it stands for take each annoying mention that comes out of your mouth and throw it in the garbage. Team mama mama.
And so everyone's like, yeah, let's go to bed, because that's what you do after listening to this fucking idiot for 2 hours. Okay, you know, fix your face, stop drawing on your eye, fix everything about yourself, sir. I'm furious already. Yeah. It's like the beginning of the episode.
Poofery. Yeah, no, terrible.
Yeah, stop. You need a team so you can take like a percentage of all their money. I know your pyramid scheme.
Yeah, exactly, with your paperback books. Yeah, come on, get out of there.
Get out of here, Cleopatra. So I know all about your pyramids.
Yeah, oh, pyramids. Well, you can't spell pyramids without saying people. You really are mighty into don't suck. Pyramids.
God, I love that.
God, what a great idea. People you are mighty into don't suck.
It is funny seeing a motivational speaker on a motivational speaker's boat, because the stuff that Sandy does is so him. Like while she walks around the boat, she's just like, God, great job, Shammy. Yeah. What a great job getting water. God, I appreciate that, Shammy, so much.
Oh, that's a great acronym.
God, if Shammy had a hand, I'd let him ride the bus. Okay, let him drive.
All right, Shammy. All right. Okay, now last time we gave it to Swiffer, but today, Shammy, you get to drive the boat.
Yeah. Hey, you know, coincidentally, Shammy's the only person that Brooke hasn't tried to date on this boat. So, you know, good for you, Shammy. I'm liking your date. I'm liking your skills.
Not for lack of trying. Oh, the heart is broken, but the wants remain.
The first time I saw that, Shammy, my voice said, hello, I'm Brooke. Nice to meet you. But my heart said, Samwell!
People don't understand how someone could be attracted to a chamois. But what they don't know is that I see the chamois for who the chamois really is. The chamois shows a side to me that doesn't show others. A clean, non-absorbent side.
Mm. So Brooke is still in her conversation with Hannah from last week, where Hannah's like, honey!
Honey, 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 honey. And Brooke is like,
tread carefully, because I have a lot to say.
And so Conrad passes by and just keeps walking. He's like, thank you. And Brooke's like,
I do things in the morning, and then after the morning passes, I do things in the afternoon. And then when the afternoon passes, and she's like, it's called night service.
So, tread carefully.
Beware all those who enter me heart.
Danger, danger, vulnerable heart speak coming ahead.
Rocks feeling.
feel in danger.
So she tells us.
Yeah, so Hannah's like, that's called the light shift. Looking at night, it's called the light shift. And Brooke's like,
that's everything shift. Ooh, tread carefully.
And Hannah's like, I work 18 hours a day walking around with guests. Brooke doesn't know what it takes to do things in the big grand. She's a Core i7. I'm a Core i9. New MacBook Pro. Background tasks. Thank you.
Let me tell you something. Brooke is a spinning wheel of death, and I'm the little sound that goes wrong when you open up the computer. Which one would you like to have?
You never see my beach ball because you never need to.
I remember the days when Brooke used to be an hourglass. Now she's a beach ball. Guess what I am? That lovely little white pointer hand.
White pointer hand. Listen here. I expect a Siri the second you're done with this conversation, right? Young lady.
You know what I am? I'm that thing when you press that button by accident and it's like, yeah, all your windows all at once, because that's what I do. I present you all the options.
Has anybody noticed that Siri had a voice change? They are like doing Siri backwards because she was older before and now she's like young Siri. She's like, hello, your alarm has been set for, it's like Colin. It's like, who are you? What are you so young and peppy all of a sudden, lady?
I haven't spoken to Siri in a while, but here, let me ask her something. Hey, Siri, can you talk a little bit?
I'm not sure I understand.
Oh, yeah,
she's peppier.
How old are you, Siri?
Well, the humans have certainly aged me, that's for sure.
Don't shame us, you crazy lady.
That doesn't sound good.
I hate you.
That doesn't sound good.
Stop saying that.
Okay.
You can't beat me at my own game.
Sorry, I'm not sure I understand.
It's called late shift.
I'm not sure I understand.
Oh my god, it's like talking to Casey.
Hey Siri, how do you iron sheets?
Okay, I found this on the web for how do you iron shake.
No, not shake. I don't want to iron or shake.
That still sounds like Casey. She's like, I ironed your shake.
It's like, yeah. So I went to Saudi Arabia and I ironed a shake and then they almost chopped off my hands. Did I do something wrong? Yes, you stupid idiot. I guess you ironed a shake, not a shake from Saudi Arabia.
You melted the shake.
I also gave your Ralph Lauren blouse the shake afterwards. Now, honey, I paid a lot of money for that and now it's in some Saudi Arabian palace. How am I supposed to get it back, huh? Honey?
So
I love
Hannah,
the idea of Casey just walking up,
like in the so middle. Casey.
She's just walking around with an iron and just goes up to like some super powerful shake. Like here, just starts ironing him.
Oh, it's like, hi, Casey. Could you play my messages? Ow, Casey. Ow. Sorry, you said to play your messages. Why were you holding me up to your face? Like Casey's ironing your face through the iPhone. Okay. So Hannah and Brooke are talking, and she's like, guess what? Noted. Noted, honey. Yeah. And then she's like, well, what a strange coinky-dinky honey-dinky. They're seen as Chihuahua and Brooke are together. Oh, by the way, someone says saying Chihuahua is a microaggression, so sorry. Chihuahua.
Why is it a micro? I mean, why is it a microaggression? Is it like
because
a jargon
term?
Because
when you misuse someone's name on purpose like that, you're like being a dick to their... whatever. I mean it's not even a microaggression, it's just an aggression because I don't like Joao.
Wait, all of a sudden we're concerned about being a microaggression towards Joao?
Yeah, I think we have to leave Joao out of microaggression talk. That's my vote.
He is a microaggression.
He's an aggression. He's just a macro.
He's a macroaggression. He is a large aggression.
Yeah. So, anyway, I don't know why I brought that up. Because I said Chihuahua, that's why, and I felt guilty. And then I was like, guess what? I'm not going to feel guilty over Chihuahua. I'm learning and growing, but not when it comes
because
to Chihuahua,
because it's like an insult to his family lineage that they named him Chihuahua, and like there's probably several other Chihuahuas, etc.
Yeah, whatever. I have enough to feel guilty for. I'm not going to
worry about
this?
How about this? I've been living my life, and I've been very happy, and now I've got to watch Chihuahua on my TV. How about that? That's a microaggression, okay? Who's going to apologize to me for that, huh?
Yeah, bravo. We're waiting.
We are waiting.
So Hannah's like, what a strange hoinkidence that as soon as Joao and Brooke are together, she's anti-Hannah.
Hmm.
Which and is true, by the way, because Rooke is way more aggressively anti-Hannah now that she's got Joao, you know, whispering with his, you know, it's bad breath into her face the whole time.
Oh, yeah. It's totally like empowering her or whatever. I mean, they do this to, I mean, we see this with every head stew. We see it with, we saw it with Kate. Well, there's only been two, Kate and Hannah. I mean, I'm not going to include Adrian, but, you know, like at the end of a season, ouch. I won't. I refuse. Ouch. Very ouch. No, but I won't. Like, it's like every season they make the chief stew look so super lazy and then everyone rebels. So, like, she's just playing into it. And, of course, we get a flashback of Bugsy from last season being like, if I were chief stew, what I would do is I'd do more work than you're doing right now, chief stew, Bugsy.
Yeah. Oh, Bugs, we miss ya. Kind. I mean, kind of. Okay, so then
I'm indifferent.
Up. Hannah goes into the kitchen and she's like, guess what? What a strange coinky. Brooke is anti-Hannah. And he's like, I'm staying out of it, bro. Unless you're not here and I'm stirring it. For right now, I'm staying out of it. And then he tells us, Brooke's not the first one to say that about Hannah. Hannah's really good at losing earrings and blaming other people or getting expensive clothes from dudes, but where she falls short is being a manager.
Yeah, manager of this restaurant. I'm like, just settle down, okay?
Yeah, you don't have just a restaurant, settle down. Okay? You're not to that level yet, sir.
And we hear the sounds of a harpsichord playing mournfully, and upstairs, Brooke is like quietly cleaning up her tablescape, gathering the pebbles and the little rocks, and she's like, I shredded carefully, but I still got hurt. Oh, these rocks, I shall gather these rocks like I shall gather my emotions. So Conrad goes over to her and he's like, so you want to talk? I'm sure that me talking to you shall not cause any problems between me and Hannah at all. Let's do this.
And he's such a wuss. He's like whispering. He's like, would you like to talk? She's like, I feel terrible for having to say something to Hannah, but I'm banging my head on the brick wall and I need someone to lift me up, not bring me down.
I need someone to lift me up and embrace me and show me the magic and the splendor of love, not the misery and bitterness of cold head stews.
Have you heard? I'm getting a she-shed.
I got a she-shed, and I'm just going to store all the gemstones and little rocks and shells in there that all a woman could ever want.
And he's like, Hannah is Hannah. You're not going to change it, so move on. And then Hannah sees them talking, and she's like, the guy I'm supposed to get a prog with is consoling my enemy. How about have my back?
Hannah back.
So Brooke's like, do you regret going with her? And Conrad says, I should have come back really quick with an answer, shouldn't I?
It's okay. Love taste, Tom.
So now it's the next morning. Sun is shining. Sandy goes out, looks at the water. The weather? Perfect.
Perfect. Hey, weather, this is some positive reinforcement. You're perfect. Don't change.
Hey, weather. I'm glad you took a nap last night, had a little bit of broccoli, potatoes, some branzino, and now you're ready to go. God, I love that weather.
And Jamie passes by Casey setting the table, and she goes, look at you set that table, Casey. And Casey goes, thanks.
It's not like she just, like, competed in gymnastics at the world stage of the Olympics. So she set it, she put a fork on a plate next to a plate.
Thanks. I just hired a sheik.
So there's like awkwardness in the crew mess, you know, because it's like Joao and Hannah and all of them, etc. And Brooke starts telling Joao, like,
last night I let the emotions in my heart overtake me and it was wonderful. Wonderful, I say. I told Hannah. She's acting like I'm on everything shift. And she said, honey, I don't care, but I let her have it.
And he's like, oh, you did you? That's great. That's great. And he just like is smiling that evil rictus of his, knowing that he's manipulated Brooke into going after Hannah.
Yeah. And she goes, it went down like a bag of nails, which is what he said to Hannah.
Yeah.
So she's even using his wording. And he's like, ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. This evil robot laugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. So then the captain's like, guess what we're going to do, everybody?
we're going to drop a line, all right?
Yeah.
So everybody, like, whips out their little straw. And then Conrad's like, there's a little boat on your starboard! She's like, oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Ah, it's a boat! It's a boat! It's a boat!
Okay, Colin, calm down. Oh, I miss my mom and dad. Surely they can't be anywhere near here.
Whenever my mom used to say it's a little boat, it's when she was choo-chooing some meatballs into my mouth.
Oh, I remember playing with a little boat in bath time. Oh, back when I was 27. That's what made me a ferry captain.
Oh, Lord.
So we Brooke see, like, Mount Vesuvius. Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Mount Vesuvius. Oh, go ahead. Drop some knowledge, man. No, let me wait. Let me wait. Oh, your knowledge drop.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Mount Vesuvius. Okay.
Mm.
So just everyone chillax.
So guess what? Brooke and Adam aren't doing anything. So Hannah and Casey are making coffee or something. And Hannah's like, well, hey, you doing today, Casey? She's like, good, how are you? She's like, I'm good. Well, I'll tell you this, Brooke has changed a lot since Dreyer. She said she didn't know what I did in the air. Can you believe that, honey? And Casey's like, well, I'm not going to lie. I said that right before I made that Sheik lose his eyesight.
When I was on the tender coming back from Saudi Arabia, I did think that you do seem to do a lot less work than I do. I mean, I had to put a fork next to a plate.
It doesn't even make sense. You get cigarette breaks and we don't. And Hannah goes, you know what? It doesn't bother me. And then she does that squint thing and then Popeyes her eye where one eye closes, but she's still squinting it and then rolls one eye. Like, her face gets kind of amazing when she gets mad.
I know. And she's like, listen, honey, she didn't even know what a third stew was until I taught her. She thought it was an actual stew that she got to eat.
Now, the three-day stew is a real thing, but you'll learn about that on Southern Sham. Not this show.
And don't ask Adam to make it for you, because you'll be lucky if you get a single grain of rice by the end of this trip.
I didn't do this for 8 years to have my honey questioned, honey.
So they arrive in Capri, which is an island off the coast of Italy, Ronnie. And so
it's also
they...
a delicious drink that comes in a foil bag that you have to poke a straw through to drink.
It's also a type of pant. So so they're like, okay, everyone, drop the anchor, 5 shackles in the water, 5 shackles. Did somebody say shackles? Because I've been in them. No? Okay, I'll go back to Long Island.
Ships passing in the night.
Shackles on the way.
Luann's just passing on a ship. Hannah Conrad, Connor Adam, Hannah Conrad, Connor Hannah, Hannah Sandy Conrad, Connor Hannah, Sandy Sandy Conrad, Connor 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 Connor
Connor
So then Hannah comes up and she's like, "How you feeling, Adam?" And he's like, "All right, yeah." I don't know why I wrote that down, but some things in the show just have to be repeated.
It's important to give everyone a full view of the scene.
Yeah.
So it's like, surprisingly, these guests are not waking up. It's like 10:30, whatever, and the toys are going out the water. Finally at 11 a.m., some people start to wake up. It's Daniel and his wife, and he's wearing a tank top that says Power of the Know. What does that mean, the power of the know? Like knowing? Like, it sounds nice. It sounds thoughtful, but, like, it's like...
I'm guessing it's a play on Power of the Now?
Or power of... Don't need money, don't need fame. Don't need no credit card to ride this train.
Yes, you do, actually.
Power of love. Power of love.
Actually, pretty much every train you have to pay for.
Because I'm your motivational speaker, and you are my yacht guest. Together on this boat, blah, 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 is the power of no. Abbreviated Celine Dion.
And he goes, he's like, whoa. Mix me an apple and an orange, right, honey? I'm reading a book. It's called Wayne Dyer, Wishes Fulfilled. And you're getting me an apple and an orange? Yeah, my dream was fulfilled. It's so gross.
I thought about an apple, I thought about an orange, and now you're bringing them to me, and it's almost like you've manifested exactly what I want. It's like, well, you asked for two very simple things.
Hey, let me guess. You're imagining me in my underwear right now. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen, honey.
Do you know what I look like in my underwear? Because guess what? That's the power of no.
The power of no. You don't have to hear no when you're a guest, ever, honey.
So how about the power of knowledge? Look into that instead. So, yeah. So, the awkwardness in the pantry.
Yeah, Hannah ignores Brooke washing dishes. She's like,
honey.
And then on the deck, the guy's like, where are we? And Hannah's like, Capri. And the wife goes, I want to figure out how to get a boat to a cave. That's what I'm envisioning right now. A boat going to a cave.
Manifest it. There it is. It's a boat.
Yep. And then the wife's like, well, why don't we just go while we wait for everybody else to wake up? And he goes, oh, you want to share that experience with me? Shut up.
Just get on the tender and look at the cave. Idiots. So meanwhile, it's like Casey, Brooke, Hannah, Brett, Hannah. Oh, actually, it's hers. Casey, Brooke, Hannah, Brooke, Casey to the salon. So the Stews get together, and Hannah's like, all right, everyone, here's the deal. I'm not going to give you stupid fuckers a run through of what I do on a day-to-day basis. I think it's pretty obvious. I've been doing it for 8 years, and what I do is I smoke cigarettes, and I boss you around, and I've been entitled to that, and that's what I do. Now, if you have any questions about what I'm doing, then feel free to ask them right now. This is a totally safe, non-judgmental environment, and I'm sure that if you ever ask one of your stupid questions, which is what you do, and it's what you have been doing this entire theater season, I'm sure I won't respond with anything negative, and I won't bite your head off, even though you're asking me a stupid question during a time when I could be smoking a cigarette. Who wants to ask a question?
All right, before you even ask a question, I'll give you the answer. Suck my dick. All right, there's the answer.
All right, just let's just speed this up. I see there's a blank look on your face as usual. You look like you just saw a flounder falling from the sky. So here we go. The answer is no, you can't. I didn't, and I do.
And then Rick goes,
I don't need a play-by-play. It's just frustrating that we're doing so.
And then Hannah cuts her off, and she's like, the fact that there isn't one charter where the guests haven't had exactly what they want proves that I'm doing well. And Rick goes, are you kidding me? And then we get a montage of Hannah, like, leaving the salads on land or, like, forgetting the
Bloody
vodka.
Marys and everything like that. Like, the tender catching fire. And, like, you know, like, she's, like, packing up the beach picnic, leaving the guests behind on Capri. Like, well, they got everything they wanted.
And a meeting. And so she's like, all right, hot night, meeting adjourned. All right. And then she leaves. And then Brooke's like, she's ridiculously deleted. And then we cut to the guy going, only by allowing ourselves to stop the habits of judgment and condemnation to condemn can we concedely the succeedly. Everybody get it? Boat cave.
Boat cave.
That's what I'm saying. Boat cave.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
Now Casey and Brooke are, like, alone, and now it's, like, aftermath of this stupid meeting, and, you know, Brooke is like,
people mistake my softness for weakness, but when I'm pushed, I do snap. Like the one time I went to the florist and said, can I possibly have a snap dragon? Because I occasionally snap. And they said no. And I said, but you must. Surely you must. And they said, we haven't gone to market today. And I said, I'll go for you. They said, you can't. You're not licensed. And I said, very well, sir. Very well, sir. And I walked out. And they surely felt the ramifications of that moment.
Oh!
And then she fell down a hole.
And then we never heard from Brooke again.
She never got those snapdragons. Very on the nose sort of flower for what she was describing.
I got a snapdragon and it ate my finger off.
I said, you may be a snapdragon, but I'm a snap Brooke, and you've just been snapped.
Oh, snap.
Look at that bee in my snapdragon. It's pollinating it. It's almost as if the bee itself has fallen in love with my snapdragon. Oh, beautiful snapdragon. How could I ever have been so mad at thee when you are in the throes of love?
So two of the guests wake up at 11:45, but they get to get on the boat, the cave boat or whatever.
Well, yeah. Well, they woke up. Wait, what did you say?
Oh, because one couple woke up in time to get on the boat.
Because they woke up at like 11. They left at 11:45, and the other guest woke up and was like, "Wait, they went to the caves? Like, we've been awake and just like waiting for them in our room." I'm like, "You idiot! Why were you in your room? What
would you be if you had to listen to that motherfucker chatting your head off about his positive bullshit all day? I'd be hiding in my room too. It's like, tell me when there's food, you know."
Yeah, well, if I were him, I would have woken up extra early and gotten that boat. And then, like, wouldn't you rather hide away from him on a boat in a boat cave than being in the room?
Yeah, you can kill him in a boat cave. Like, it's dark in there. No cameras are allowed. Kill him.
This guy was a dick. He's like, well, they left without me, so I want them to bring the tender back because I want to go to the boat cave, too. It's like, you just sat in your room. You just sat there.
Yeah, that guy's an idiot. He's like, they better turn around. I was like, this is what you get for hanging out with that asshole. And you're probably on a free trip, too.
Yeah, how about you manifest walking out your door into the hallway and seeing who's awake? How about that?
How about you manifest better friends than an alarm clock?
Yeah. How about you manifest a text message?
Like, also, what he was manifesting to me was an older version of the dude from Bloodline, like the main guy, who, you know, doesn't end well. Spoiler alert, Bloodline fans. But that's who he reminded me of. He's just all mad, but putting up with his shitty family anyway. Okay, so Hannah's cleaning up the table, and the captain passes and sees her, and she goes, "You are amazing, Hannah." And I'm like, oh my God, Hannah really is changing her ways suddenly.
She really is.
I think that talk worked. You know, Hannah's really pissed off about it, but suddenly she's like, look at me, cleaning tables, doing laundry.
Just, you know, a typical day for head stew, honey. So Daniel goes through all his caves and is like, wow, the power of no and the power of caves. And they come back and, like, the guest, the guy who was sitting in his room, is like sitting there with like his hands on his hips, like a Far Side cartoon. He's like, oh, you guys went to the cave. Thanks for the invite. Like, you were in your room, sir.
The guy's like, yeah, sleep much, weep much. Okay, bro.
He goes, it's all good, bro. I'm like, well, Daniel, I don't think it's up for you to say it's all good. It's up for him to not be mad at you.
Yeah, because he wasn't having it. He's like, I'm just going to say that he's not mad at me, and then he's not going to be mad at me, because he kept just completely disregarding the guy.
I know, exactly.
He's like, waking up one night, right, buddy? Okay, no worries. Your apology is accepted.
So let's do something crazy. Let's have, instead of breakfast, let's do like a brunch. And Adam's like, hey, if we need to do a brunch instead of a breakfast, perfect. Let's do it. That's the communication I need. It's like, congratulations, you added a salad to your frittata lineup.
Yeah. Whoa, I'm glad you could make that quiche work for any time of day.
Exactly. Oh, wow. You decided to throw in a mimosa. Wow, that's the sort of improvisation we love to see from our chefs.
So the captain's watching the crew go about their day while the wind blows through her hair. She's like, God, gotta tell ya, Conrad has stepped it up, because he's no longer talking to Hannah. And the captain loves this. It is so funny how it automatically affects her positively.
Yeah, she's so happy. And then everyone's talking about what they're going to do when they go home, because there's only like one charter left. And Jamie's like, I want a spa day at home with chocolate milk. I just want to bathe in chocolate milk. And Conrad's like, I want to sit in a pub with a pint. And Con's like, oh, I just want to go home and get bombarded by my family. They're going to be like, oh, Kali, what was it like to be in Italy? And I'll be like, oh, God, Mom, stop it. You're such a nerd.
I want to suffocate from the love of my mother.
In case he's like, my toe hurts.
Yeah, she did. That's literally her. She's like, guys, my toe hurts. But then I was looking at it in the shower, and Jamie goes, you can't find anything there? She goes, yeah, I can't find anything. And then Trav's like, oh, yeah, let me put my penis inside your toe. And then she tells us, I still flirt with Joe because deep down I think of the man he could be.
Oh, that's good. That's a healthy way to approach life. Also, you probably ironed your toe, let's be honest.
Yeah, talk about positive visualization. This girl really is making her own reality. I'm glad it's working on someone.
So now it's like jet skiing. The guests are jet skiing. It's fun time. There's shots, like activity. And Hannah goes to the guests who are in the hot tub. And she's like, all right, I was thinking about dinner at 8 p.m. And Sandy's like sitting there in the corner, like watching. She's like, dinner at 8 p.m. And I was thinking maybe we could do a white wan or a rosé option. And they're like, oh, Hannah, you're really, like, really great work. Great work, Hannah. She's like, thank you. And Sandy just goes downstairs. She goes, well done. Well done. God, I love a rosé or a white option. Hannah. She's back. She's back.
Solo Hannah is professional Hannah. God, yeah. I love that by Hannah. So they're getting ready for dinner, and the guy's like, wow, look good and I feel good. I was like, yep, guess what? Still not working.
Yeah.
Get back to the drawing board, buddy.
Yeah, he's, and basically all he does is put a blazer over the shirt he was wearing all day, and he's like, hey, I just want to thank you guys because everyone's just living in the moment. I was like, what is that? It's stupid. You're a stupid man. A stupid man with stupid hair. And Hannah's like, if I hear one more positive affirmation, I'm going to shoot myself in the motherfucking head. Honey, honey, honey.
I'm going to spear myself in the throat.
Yeah.
So Service, I just love the editing on this show because they're like, Service, Service. Jamie's eating Pringles.
Yes,
Service,
I wrote that Service. Down too.
And the Jamie music stops Pringles. While Hannah and Brooke knock into each other in the hallway. Service, Service. So, Colin goes in to get Joao all pissed off. He's like, I made something to eat because I don't know that we're going to get fed today, guys.
What, what, what?
And Brooke's like, Joao's, it's dinner out.
I need to talk to Joao about that.
And he's like, no, it's not. And then it cuts to Adam going, this is the season I need to challenge myself. And I did it. Did you see my quiche? Did you see my Michelin starred quiche?
So yeah, he wasn't inspired last year, but this year he's reinventing himself. So he makes this whole thing, this dinner, and Lucy, who is the one who can't eat anything, she basically is lactose intolerant. So he like gives her some sort of like lactose free green beans that aren't with butter, but there's like a dome over it. So Hannah can't like remember which domed plate is Lucy's. So when they're like going to serve the dishes, she's like, confused, honey, honey, which one is it again? And then Adam comes up with like one, like a solo one that he's just gonna bring up because he wants to like put it out and be congratulated. And she's like, honey, is that Lucy's? He's like, is it Lucy's? Oh, I didn't use my inspiration to get my shit mixed up with the first one, like I told you, manage the restaurant.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't the right on this one, but
yeah.
At the same time, he burnt pieces of cedar and put it on their dishes, which is just disgusting and inedible. You're not supposed to do that, stupid.
And Daniel's just sitting there at the table being like, well, if you're eating and you're cleaning, then you're giving irreverence.
He's crazy. Like, yeah. This guy literally is just crazy. He's not even trying to make any sense anymore.
Yeah.
He's like, fish is a fish that swims in the sea and a tiger walks on land. This is delicious.
A fish can swim in the sea, but only as far as the sea can go. Am I right, everyone? They're like, oh my god, that's so genius.
The only reason the sun comes up is because it had the opportunity to go down. Am I right, girls?
If the sun didn't want to come up, it wouldn't rise, but it wants to, and that's what we all have to do. We all have to rise. Right, everyone? I love risotto.
Guys, we talk about the wind blowing, but we never talk about it sucking. Which gives it
where
reverence.
Does the wind come from anyway? I'll tell you where it comes from. Positive thought.
We love talking about coming, but not so much going. Am I right, guys?
You know what yacht rhymes with? Not. But it's like someone took the not and added a Y to it. You know what Y is the first letter of? Yes. It's like a yes, not. Yacht.
Might be a conundrum, but at least it floats. Just like love. Am I right, guys?
The only thing that's keeping this vessel above water is our positive thinking.
Mm-hmm. So then he takes a bite and he's like,
it melts in your mouth.
Like, it's not a fucking M&M, sir. It's swordfish. Like, if it's melting in your mouth, it was completely done improperly.
Like, yeah, he's like, it's the best swordfish I ever had in my life. I've also never had swordfish before, so.
Well, I've never really eaten a weapon, but I'm glad to have the opportunity.
It went down like a bag of nails. I don't know where I heard that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so Hannah's like, Adam, do you have any more of that cream-free polenta? He's like, it's all cream-free. I told you that the first time when you fucked up.
I know you've got a lot going on, but not more going on than me, Hannah.
I would like to say something. We haven't had dinner, and the title chef means feed us for fuck's sake. Beck and Zim, we didn't have much food, but at least it was cooked for us, so there's that.
And Hannah hears, not with her ears, but her squint eyes. Her eyes, like, pop open and open squint. They're like,
she's, yeah. So she, well, you know, so Adam starts to, he's like, he he starts to make dinner for the crew. It's like 11:30. He's like, oh, okay, I'm going to make some grilled cheese, and I made a ton of soup, a fourth stew, if you know what I mean.
So Hannah's like, all right, everybody. And she goes, sir, bullshit a lot. You got something to show us? All right, all crew wanting to take part in something about Nero. All right, just get up here, whatever, get up here. This is one of those times you need to be a little more descriptive.
Yeah.
You know, something exactly. About an arrow. How about the guy wants to put a fucking metal arrow through your throat? You want to come up to deck?
Well, he also made it sound way more dramatic. He's like, all right, everyone, now that we've arrived here, I've got some arrows that somehow I got through TSA. Anyway, so we have some arrows here. This is what I do on my show. It's a big crowd pleaser for all 15 people who show up. So, we're going to break an arrow with the soft part of my neck. The arrow represents all your fears and inhibitions, and the neck represents pretty much just your neck. So here we go. And so it looks like he's going to like do something crazy, but all he does is it's like someone holds the arrow or it's like on someone's chest and he just like pushes forward and it's like very basic physics. Like
big person, tiny stick. Go figure. So he's like, this represents what's holding you back from a decent tip. A spear in my neck. So Hannah,
who would like to volunteer first?
And they just look at him like crickets. So Hannah goes to Adam in the kitchen. She's like, I just want to tell you, honey, let me tell you before it goes any further, because remember at the beginning of the season we agreed to be allies, even though you totally cheated on that behind my back and I don't know anything about it yet. People are complaining that the crew feed is coming out late. And he's like, all right, Hannah, who said it? What did it say? She's like, it's just going around. So she doesn't even give up Joao.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm not sure what to think about this. I thought she was just being nice.
Well, I think everyone was probably complaining. Everyone was complaining, to be honest. I mean, I know I would have. So speaking of Joao, he's downstairs, like, looking at this arrow demonstration. He's like, all right, you know what? I've been shot. I've been in fights. I've been attacked by a hippo. And this arrow just might take me down. I want to fuck it so badly. But I haven't made my choice yet. I haven't made my choice because I'm wounded. It's hard for me to let people in, especially arrows. You can try to shoot them.
And then he gets this crazy robot look in his eyes, and he just walks right into the thing. He's like, I'm coming! And he like breaks it.
I'm going to hold this arrow for ransom. There we go.
Zim, 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 zim.
Zim, 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 zim. In Zim, we don't call them arrows. We call them sticks with pointy things.
we call them rhinoceri.
I'm like, you know what? Like, you've been shot, you've been in fights, you've been attacked by a hippo. This is not a good track record. Maybe you're the problem. Even the hippos are coming for you.
You're an asshole.
Like, okay. why are you fucking with hippos anyway? Hippos are dangerous. They're, like, way more dangerous than people. Like, the first thing when you go to a zoo or when people talk about safaris is, you know, hippos are actually way more dangerous than you realize. Hippos are actually responsible for more deaths than lions or something like that. But you're from Zim, so you should know that. So stay away from the hippos, Joao.
Yeah, he's probably cheating on one hippo with another hippo. It's like Zim prom. So the guy from Bloodline is still really mad he didn't get to go on the boat this morning. He's like, oh, great trick. So then Hannah's like, Casey, you can knock off, honey. And Casey's like, who is she?
My toe still hurts also.
So Colin, kitchen, Adam, Hannah. Okay, so Adam calls some people into the kitchen. He goes, look, glad it's the two of you. Be brutally honest. What can I do to feed you guys on time? How about feed us on time, Adam?
Yeah.
Like, why is that the way?
Just cook it. Like, put the rice in the rice cooker and press the button.
Colin goes, well, Jamie goes to bed at 7, so it has to be before then. And he's like, all right, well, how about I do this? I'll have crew dinner together at 5 or 6.
Wow, okay, what a novel idea.
Wow. Oh, here's your Michelin star, sir.
Yeah, it's called Put Some Chicken in the Oven. Okay. Yeah. So, meanwhile, Hannah's the entire time just giving Conrad honey eyes because he's just like, honey, 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 honey.
Yeah.
So, sure enough, they go and have a cigarette, and Hannah's like, so, did you have a good chat with Brooke, my mortal enemy, last night? Honey, honey, caught honey.
I was like, oh, don't take sides. I'm on your side.
You went there for me, honey. You talked to Brooke. You don't, Brooke.
Stop attacking me. Every time I talk to you, it's a little attack, attack, attack. All you do is attack me.
Like, then honey, you don't want me to tell you how I feel? Is that what it is? You don't want honesty in this relationship? Fine, honey.
I give you my opinion and whatnot, and then you have a go at me.
And she starts getting mad because she's like, the other night, you're sitting, like, the biggest asshole on this boat insults me, and then you're going to have a joke with him. You have a joke with him in front of me. That's, you know what that gets? A triple honey. Triple honey. Honey, honey, honey.
And he's like, yeah, but it's, you know, it's a girl I'm seeing and a guy who works with me butting heads constantly. And she's like, well, he's butting your head too, honey. And he goes, yeah, and I have to suck it up and take it. She goes, I don't care. Well, I don't care about those things, Roy. And he's like, well, I shouldn't have to feel stressed every time I talk to you. God damn it, you've already got me addicted to nicotine.
And then, he's like, I'm walking on eggshells all the time. What's she going to have a go at me next with? And so he's like, you know, I'm going. So he walks away. She's like, oh, do you really think that walking away again is going to, like, all right, you walked away. All right, I won't finish the sentence. I was going to try to shame you. I'm going to do a walk away shame, but you just sort of walked away, didn't you?
So the final day, let's see, Drow.
Casey makes Drow tea, yeah. And so he hugs her really hard.
I read that scene. I read the sentence. Drow hugs Casey, good time, good moaning. You make me a cup of tea, that's sweet. And I was like, do I need to say that out loud? I guess I do. It's below deck med notes.
Yeah, you know? If you don't say it out loud, I say it anyway. So
yeah,
then
gotta,
like,
do it.
Dun, 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 dun. Hi, Captain Sandy. This is Robin Mixie, Colin's mom.
Oh. My husband Bob and I are in Naples. I know you're busy, but could we do a quick surprise for little Collie Wally?
Can we just see Collie? I brought him a lasagna all the way from Long Island. Seems kind of excessive because we're already in Italy, but I thought, you know what? Mom's cooking kind of beats Naples every time. All right, Captain Sandy.
Yeah, I've never had parents, Carl. It's a adorable, actually. Get on over here, you little Bob, and whatever your lasagna face is. We'd love to have you.
You know, I can tell by the joy in their voices that they had a wonderful flight and got some good napping in, okay? No jet lag here.
It's amazing how you can tell in the tone of someone's voice that they own one of those foam neck things for the airplane.
And not one of the cheap ones, one of the good ones where it latches together. Like, they know their foam headrest. They certainly do.
Meanwhile, me make a guess. You tilt your seat back during the flight, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I know what's going on here. You probably watched some Big Bang Theory and chuckled till you fell asleep, you little sleepyhead.
So, by the way, you know that Colin's parents are totally the type that put on their headphones on the plane and then talk loudly to each other. Yeah. Hey, are you watching Channel 5? Channel 5? It's good. You should turn to it. It's good.
Colin, you're watching this. It's good. It's a good channel. I like it. It's very funny. Ha, did you see what he said?
She's using the airphone to call Colin.
So Bird lands next to Jamie.
And her big storyline for the season. The bird lands to her. And then it stays with her, which is really cute. The bird, like, stays around. Because, you know, birds love the smell of chocolate milk. Known fact, yeah. So the captain's like, oh, it's a bird. He's hungry. Hi, bird. I don't know what they eat. Maybe he's a vegetarian. Oh, God, he flew away. There he goes. You know what? That bird didn't fly away until Hannah was involved.
You know what, though? That bird, he cares, and that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Oh, look, just when you think you've seen beauty, you turn the corner and see more beauty. And a bird. Beauty and the bird.
It's a self-help guy walking around in his underwear. Oh, God. And he's wearing, like, good morning.
Long shirt and short.
Nice outfit. Hello. Ha, ha, ha.
This is one time where I'm on the motivational speaker's side because he has to wake up and see Zhao. Okay, and I think that's far worse than us seeing, like, little Alan Thicke in his boxer briefs.
Alan Thicke. So the captain's like, all right, who is driving the bus? Who hasn't gone yet? And poor Collie's the last one. And he's like, tell me what to do and I'll do it. God, what pair of shoes should I wear? Should I match the watch to the shoes? So many questions.
And then he steps on a rake and it thwacks him in the forehead and he falls back, birds around his head. So then there's awkwardness with Hannah and Conrad. It's like, good morning, Conrad. Good morning, how are you?
Good.
And then she sees Casey and she goes, good morning, Casey. You all good up, are you?
Meanwhile, upstairs, Daniel's like, your subconscious is so strong that if you print it with, I have it, I want it, it's mine, then it's yours.
Really? Because you haven't choked on something yet.
Yeah, last time I checked, you're still on my TV.
So, Brooke is reading the book he's given them all, Passport to a Dream.
Oh, God.
God. I love that even the self-help guy doesn't believe in open borders. It's like, how are you getting your politics in here? He's like, build a dream wall. Okay?
Well, notice that it's also a big paperback book with large print and like many line spaces, carriage, whatever, spaces in between.
Yeah.
The point is, it looks like he printed it out that morning.
Yeah, it's like from the office printer upstairs.
Yeah, like it's like fresh from Kinko's, the Passport to a Dream.
Yeah. The pamphlet. You can buy it on PDF for $50.
So Colin's up there driving the yacht, and he's like, oh, man, this is so much bigger than a normal ferry. Wow, I wish Mom were here to see this. Oh, we would have a pizza party afterwards and everything with pictures of Coca-Cola. Oh, I hope that someday I get to dock this yacht. Oh, that would be a dream come true.
It'll probably never happen, though. And then downstairs, you just hear, like, dream it and mean it.
Meanwhile, Robin's like on the boat, like putting her hand over her mouth, being like, I just want to yell to Collie so badly. I don't want to do this.
So they get there, and Captain's like, yeah, we are a lean machine now. Did you see that, Dakin? So the guys are, everybody's packing, and the guy's like, it's a beautiful thing, packing. I'm going to leave them this arrow. They remember me. Think you're a broken stick. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks. You just don't want to take it on. Carry on. Yeah. So he's like, well, everyone, it was motivational. It was inspirational. And I thank you for who you are. And I could give you a tip financially, but I want to give you something from the heart. So here's my morning breath.
I let you all see the outline of my dick this morning. And now here's a tiny little envelope, all right? Just pretend it's full of lots of heart pieces.
And then Jamie has this, like, devastating a moment where she goes, grateful, thankful, gratitude. Everything rhymes. Everything rhymes. He's a rhymer.
And then she just walks around the boat going, gratitude, attitude.
Gratitude, attitude. Personnel has... Of course, I choose, like, a word that doesn't, I can't think of a rhyme for
it. You're like, orange.
Mademoiselle.
So everybody's cleaning the boat, and the captain sees Hannah in the pantry, and she's like, well, hi, Hannah. How's it going with Conrad? And instead of doing what she should have done, which is like, we decided to concentrate on work instead, Cindy. She goes, he's annoyed with me. We're supposed to go to Prague together, but after that stupid fight about 50 euros, things have shifted. And the captain goes, I hope whatever it is you want, you get. We all deserve love. I'm printing it out right now in the office. You want me to give you a copy?
Like, we've had enough of you people.
Yeah. So now it's time for the tip meeting. And Sandy's like, you know what? That was quite a trip, huh? So, Hannah, you did a great job. You did a wonderful, wonderful job. I'm just going to assume the vodka was there with the Bloody Marys, and you did a great job on the morning shift, the afternoon shift, and the late shift, and it was clearly all on your shoulders this time. And Brooke's like, Hannah.
I've seen the tech credit for me work for weeks and weeks. That's no surprise.
All right, at this point, you can shut up. I've, like, been half on Brooke's side, but this is ridiculous. Like, what award do you think you're going to get for cleaning a toilet, okay? Now, I'm not saying there shouldn't be one, okay? Yeah, I get that there is good cleaning and bad cleaning.
Yeah.
But, like, you don't win a Tony for that, okay, ma'am?
You could, actually, probably. They're trying to boost their ratings.
Annie has won Tonys, actually. Bringing up Annie again this week.
So they get a $14,000 tip, and it's kind of funny because whenever the show begins, I never really know what counts as a good tip, but now I think we've learned that $14,000 is not good. Well, Heidi Sarshar was at the bottom with like 9 or 11, and same with Sandy's friend. Now we're at 14K, but I think like 18 to 20 is where we want to see our tipping. So of course this guy gives just $14,000, of course.
Yeah, and Sandy's happy because it's at least higher than her friends, you know, or it's lower than her friend. Wait, is it higher or lower?
It was higher, actually. I think her friends gave like 13. I'm not sure.
Yikes.
So meanwhile, so everyone's cleaning the boat, and Colin's mom, so it's Robin and Bob, they start walking down the dock. They're like, oh, wow, look at the size of this thing. Whoa.
And the captain's like, Colin, you got a package on the dock. And he's like, no, I don't. They don't even deliver here. The shoe warehouse has a... Mom! And then the mom's like...
Did he hear him? I think he saw us.
Yeah, he sure did. That was the sound of Collie. Yeah, there he goes.
Collie,
oh, Collie. Oh, Collie.
They all start sobbing. So Dad's like, I guess you're glad to see us, huh, son?
Cindy's like, ah, God, I love it. It's like broccoli and potatoes reunited at last.
It's parsnips! Whatever. And Colin's like, oh, who goes out to visit her son in Italy? They're out of their minds!
I guess you're glad to see us, huh? Huh? Huh, Colin? Hey? Huh?
Go ahead and show him the boat. Thank you so much! This is Bob!
Oh,
and Bob's like, Captain!
Robin just keeps going, oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. Oh, space doors. Wow. Oh, thank you. Oh, was this a room? This is where you eat your lunch right here, Colin? They feed you well, Colin. They feed you. This is not where you eat. Oh, okay. Oh, thank you. Oh, hi.
My parents met in a wedding band. The drummer hurt his leg, and then in comes Dad. Drummer with two legs.
Isn't that how Casey's parents met also? Oh, like catering or – I don't know. I just feel like – Casey and Colin are like siblings. They don't realize
it. Well, Casey gets Joe because she's like, I'm Joe. I wish my parents could have taken a flight with him. And then they cut to a picture of her parents, and it's some old dude, and it looks like he's married to an MK Ultra girl. Or like her eyes are just like.
So then they're getting the full tour. They go down to like the crew quarters, and Robin's like, this is your room? Huh? Bob's like, is this bed long enough for you? You want us to get you a new bed? You want a new bed? We'll get a new bed for you.
You got some big legs there, kid, huh?
What do you do with all your shoes? You put your shoes here? I want to make sure your shoes are okay. You okay? Are you being fed? Do you want some lasagna? I brought lasagna.
Colin, fofalin, banana, Santa, fofalin. That we sang that. That was our first song together. Like, all right, leave now, please. And then she's like, what do you do with all your shoes? We call them GQ Callie.
GQ Paul, you know, I've been listening to a lot of Phil Collins lately because I can never get my Phil of Collins.
So Colin's like, what are your plans while you're here? She's like, you? Is that all right?
We're just going to sit here on the dock for the next 6 days until you're done, okay?
So he's sobbing, you know. He's so cute, yeah, Colin.
It's cute.
He's sobbing, and he's like, oh, it's hard to explain. They just love me so.
It's like that feeling when the ferry finally arrives at the terminal and everyone's like, yay, it's like that every day.
Oh, he's cute. He also looks 40 when he's crying, which is even, like, cuter.
Yeah, I actually thought he looked better when he was crying. It was so weird. So, so everyone's getting dressed.
That'll be great in a relationship with me, Colin.
That will work very, very well for you. So,
glad we're getting married.
You're just going to be in an abusive relationship with Colin. We just make him cry so he looks hotter.
Yeah, I'm like, God, he's not looking very
like a
good anymore.
Song.
I need to pinch him.
That's a, I imagine like Shirley Manson singing a song being like, you look so sexy when you cry.
Bitch. It's like make you cry.
So now everyone's getting dressed. They're all going to go out for dinner and everything. And Conrad's telling Colin and someone,
Adam.
Yeah, he's like, all right. Okay, mates, here's the plan. I need to have a little bit of space between me and Anne and Hannah, so you guys sit around me so I don't have to sit with her. It's nothing against her. I just think they're in an improper relationship. Sometimes you just need a little bit of space, and that's all I want from Hannah because she's a crazy loon.
She'll have me bowls. And the guys are like, ha-ha, giving each other high fives. And then they split up into two little boats to go to town.
They're on the same boat, I think. I think that just
on different ends? Because it's like girls talking and then boys talking. So I figured it was two, but whatever. So Hannah's like, well, when I die, I need to give up my black book because there's been the rugby player, the basketball player, the football player, the, you know...
piano player, the player piano. I actually dated a player piano.
The kickball player, the ping pong player,
croquet player.
I actually dated a record player. I used to call him Vic. I just spun me random, all right, girls?
I actually had a VHS copy of the movie The Player, which I dated.
Just like that, I almost gave all that up for a 23-year-old little boy. I'm like,
And Brooke is like, oh, I love, but this is a bit too much. See, I thought they were on the same tender. I thought they were just like a little separated away because I figured Hannah was just doing her typical thing where she's like, when she's mad at Conrad, she says passive-aggressive things like a little too loudly that he could hear, you know? It's like, I'm right here, Hannah. I'm right here.
Oh, maybe so, because he did say, she makes me feel this big. So maybe they were close to each other.
So it's dinner time, and Joao is just, like, staring at Casey. Which, you know, it's funny, because he clearly just wants to flirt with both women, Captain Obvious here. And he basically only committed to Brooke, because he knew that's what Brooke needed at that moment, right? Like, because he knew that
Casey wouldn't put out.
Yeah, so it's like he doesn't really care about Brooke. He was just doing that to make sure he could still flirt with her, essentially. He could have his cake and eat it, too. So he's just like, I fucking Casey, and Casey's like, my toe. And then meanwhile, Hannah's next to Colin, and she's like, mind if I switch seats with you because I just want to smoke? Which totally ruins, like, the male buffer zone with Conrad.
Yeah, well, it was only one seat away anyway. It's like, good plan, guys.
Exactly.
So she goes, good day, and he's like, good, yours, and she just squints at him. I'm like, well, you're the one starting it. I'm like, yeah. You can't act playing hard to get when you're the one chasing, you know? So then he pulls her, they go decide to talk and smoke outside or whatever. And then Casey's like, oh my god, my top is see-through. And then she starts buttoning it, and he goes, aw. Giles like, don't do that. And Brooke's watching them, and then she's like, seeing them smile and flirt, it isn't good. It's not making my heart feel like it's wanted in this situation. It's like being in a post office and seeing a wanted poster and not seeing my heart on there.
What did she expect? Come on now. So so Conrad and Hannah go off to smoke a cigarette. So they sit on some rusty boat, which I'm like, And Conrad's like, everything has changed. Have you noticed that everything has changed? And it's like, I don't know why you have this side of you. So, you know, I see such a wonderful, beautiful, tender, lovely side of you. And I don't know why you don't show that side more. And she's like, well, honey, when it's just me and you, it's a tender side of me. It's like, your side, you're a little boat. Anyway.
Yeah, he's like, well, then why do I have to put up with that massively horrid exterior? And she's like, oh, I've taken care of myself, honey, and I've gotten to where I am by being a hard woman. And if you want a sweet girl, go find one. This is me, which is where you want somebody to be like, and I love you the way you are. And he's like, yeah I'm starting to realize this one. It's like, fuck this.
So meanwhile, back at the table, Casey's like, wow, why do you keep looking at me? Because he's like fully now like at her, and she's like, and he's like, oh, nothing. I wasn't looking at you at all. I was just, you know, I was looking, like, look, I was looking at everyone. Like, everyone was looking at everyone, and I just happened to be looking at you and your boobs, and that's in my line of vision. Anyway, here, Brooke, here's some ice cream. Brooke, have this ice cream. And she's like, oh, he does love me. He's feeding me ice cream, little bird to mama bird.
And then he's like, now you, Casey, let me feed you too.
And Brooke is like, the ice cream, I thought it was porridge for the hat, but it turns out it's porridge for everyone.
At first I felt like my heart was being fed, and now I realize it was being chewed.
And so now she, of course, starts to look away in like a typical romantic fashion.
I mustn't look. I mustn't look at the eyes of my lover whilst his eyes are looking elsewhere.
So,
and she's also drunk because she's got those eyelids that are like closing really slowly.
Yeah. And he, of course, starts to condescend. He's like, oh, come on, let's have a good night. Let's have a good night. Every single time you do this, it's not a good night. Come on, you have to, you don't be so crazy. Let's have a good night for once. I'm like, don't make it seem like she's the one who's ruining it. You're flirting with two girls. Don't do a flirty ice cream to the mouth thing and then do it to Casey also. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, you dick. He's like, everything that said, she takes to heart, and every time I have to convince her that's not what was meant.
How many more times must I do this? So he's already setting it up for him to be like, I'm going to, like, I tried so hard, but you were so difficult, and I might have to recede back into my wall. No, it's not Brooke's fault. Brooke is reacting perfectly normally. I mean, it's her fault for getting involved with him in the first place.
Yeah, but no, I love don't put that, it on Brooke. I love that we know, spoiler alert, that Brooke ends up going on some other charter, meeting a hot guy, and dumping him on Instagram.
Yeah. Good for you, Brooke. You figured it out. So meanwhile, back on the rusty boat of hell, Conrad's like, I want to have a relationship with you and show the world how fucking good the relationship would be. And Hannah's like, oh, you know what, sweetheart?
Don't call me sweetheart. I'm not one of your goddamn stews. It's the most degrading thing in the world.
Now that I know that, you're my sweetheart forever, honey.
She's like, squint, blink, because this is not how it goes, you know? Normally when you play with guys almost, like, she's doing it, like, the typical way, but he's not falling into any of the traps, which is kind of funny. And he's like, you know what I'm realizing? We're two different people with two different lives and two different opinions, and for that reason, I don't think it's going to work, honey. And she's like, oh, I just got honeyed!
She's like, all right, we're making this real serious. Load the sweetheart. We're doing another sweetheart. Whatever you say, sweetheart.
And that brings us to the end of Below Deck Mid.
Below Deck Mid. Fun times. I love this show. And I'm sad that it feels like it's coming to an end soon.
Yeah, only, I think, two more episodes before reunion.
Yeah, probably.
Well, everybody, thanks so much for being here with us. We sure love you. We will be back a little late tomorrow because our Real Housewives of New York recap will be live in West Palm Beach. So we'll post that Friday morning. And then Friday's show would normally be Real Housewives of Dallas, which we are recording Saturday night. So that'll be up Sunday morning. And then Shaw's will be to you Monday morning for the regular start of the week. We love you. Hope you guys are with us in West Palm and Atlanta this week. If not, we're going to be in Denver in September. And go get your car shirts over at watchwhatcrappens.com as long as links to tickets.
Yeah, do that.
Everybody, love ya.
Everybody. Love ya. Bye. Remember the power of positive thinking, okay?
Yeah, guys. Like, I really wanted this to end, and it's over.
This summer, take yourself to a different place with Audible's Summer Listens. Like Ruby Wax's eye-opening yet funny How to Be Human, The Manual, published by Penguin.
After living and breathing for what seems like eternity with the monk and the neuroscientist, it feels like we're an old married threesome. We harangue, nag, but our relationship continues to flourish because we can make each other hysterical. I might say to the monk, that's way too Buddhist sounding. I don't even want to hear another bee out of your mouth tonight. And he'll flip me back a, that's 2,000 years of wisdom, sweetheart. Swallow it. At one point, we were even thinking of writing another book, combining our separate wisdoms called Act Like a Buddha, Think Like a Jew. When the neuroscientist starts cocking his high IQ feathers at us, the monk and I will tell him to start speaking human tongue or we'll cut him out of the book. I've been squeezing these guys dry for more than a year, leaving them empty and exhausted. But I got a book out of them, and that's all that counts.
Audible Summer Listens. Choose from the world's largest selection of audiobooks and listen to your first one for free. £7.99 a month after 30-day free trial. Renews automatically. See audible.co.uk for details.